President Joe Biden has announced that they will be pulling US forces out of Afghanistan by September 11th of this year. Although the job may still appear half finished, it seems the administration has other uses for these troops. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. And check out the first episode of Ed's new series, also involving myself and producer Tina Quinn, Pacific Conversations. Episode 1 out now, featuring former Labor leader and ambassador to the United States, Kim Beazley. Big news this week with Joe Biden announcing his intention to withdraw all US troops from Afghanistan by September 11th this year, the 20th anniversary, of course, of the 9/11 attacks. This is one that has vexed the last three presidents. Certainly it vexed Biden's spiritual predecessor, Barack Obama. How do you see this one playing out, Ed?
Well, I think clearly, if you do, it's not good. If you don't, it's not good. Biden wins more approval by doing it, even if Afghanistan goes to hell in the handbasket now. It's just been too long, too little has been gained, and the American people don't care. So I think Afghanistan will crumble, but the Russians won't go in. Nobody will care.
Yeah, what I find interesting about this one is it's not being framed as a mission accomplished moment, which of course would be incredibly disingenuous. Rather, in my reading, it's being framed much more that continued fighting with the Taliban in Afghanistan is a distraction, and these troops, those forces, are needed to mobilize for potentially much bigger security threats, such as China, Russia, even climate change. I mean, does that seem fair that there are...
That sounds fair. That's a very good assessment. And I could have been longer and said the same thing, that the price of staying is too high. The other reinforcements to China and so forth, I think, is not an issue. I think we're going to demobilize in the United States, and many of these troops will simply go home. Others will be deployed to local missions rather than national missions.
Well, in terms of those other sort of bigger fish to fry, how does this move actually play into the bigger threats when we already see US influence in decline abroad? I mean, if we're leaving a job half done, how does that sort of play into the decline in US influence already?
In the old days, you'd want your troops everywhere because they're a deterrent. Today, with missiles that can be self-propelled and self-guided, men and boots on the ground don't count for as much as they used to. Surely there'll be some smaller skirmishes where that'll make a difference. But I think the boots on the ground is gone, and the US's strategic direction is turning much more toward guided missiles, satellites, and other things. And the issue there is how much will they destroy, including the US. The danger is much greater than boots on the ground, where killing a few men was awful, but not nearly as bad as wiping out an entire city. So I think we have other fish to fry, much worse, much more dangerous, and need to turn our attention to that. US attention to the world cannot be military. It will have to be economic. And the U.S. recovery will be one of the best things for the world.
Gun control. Last week, after another series of mass shootings, which we've, discussed in part, Joe Biden called U.S. gun violence a national embarrassment and called for an increase in the nation's gun controls. Experts are calling the proposals good first steps, certainly with a tone that suggests that they don't go quite far enough. Thoughts, Ed?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I think it will not stop until the manufacturers of guns are sued, like the tobacco manufacturers, for the damage they do to the communities and the like. And that's coming. The death of the NRA, which is now in bankruptcy, means there will not be a retaliation nearly as fast. The corporate community has moved away from this. I think Biden will take more important steps after he gets his other two agenda items rolling. And one of them may have gun control in them, and that's the health bill. If he gets that health bill that only requires 51 votes, it can have a very big gun control piece to it with respect to dealing with the symptoms of gun, such as reduction of drugs, dealing with people who have mental illness and the like, and declaring, like tobacco, guns a weapon of mass internal destruction requiring medical attention.
Yeah, in fact, I found it really interesting. I mean, I know you're a big fan of the Brady Bill, as you've mentioned before, and some of these moves coming from Biden, look, they sound good to me. Some of them feel like a bit of a sop, but I was particularly interested in the mention, as you've kind of touched on there, of the red flag legislation, making it easier to take guns away from people who are measured to pose a danger to themselves or others.
Yeah, I think that'll be part of it. But within a decade, guns will be like disease control. There'll be a large gun controlling apparatus. What success will have, I don't know. You have to deal with the problems. The underlying problems are poverty, the inability of people to feel good about themselves, with jobs, an American society that's pushed too much emphasis on what you have and not enough on who you are.
Some ongoing items and COVID-19. The rollout seems to be continuing to go well in the States, something we can't say here in Australia. Although different
except for Johnson and Johnson.
Look, different vaccines. These different vaccines are causing some people a bit of tension, it would seem.
Yeah, that's, see, we have three vaccines. Two of them, or a whole bunch of them, are very similar in their formula. The Pfizer vaccine is different, and it seems to have the best long-term effect in terms of injections and the damage it does people, but an inferior return in terms of the amount of resilience it gives you, your body, or immunity to the disease. So there's going to be a trade-off. We lose lives when people get vaccines every year, including the flu vaccine. So I think the American product is probably going to be consumed around the world. I'm not sure about the AstraZeneca. I think it has more problems than they're letting on.
On infrastructure and taxes, corporations are pushing back on Biden's plans to raise the corporate tax rate, claiming it will make US businesses less competitive and hurt American workers. And I got to say, I've heard that one a few times before. I've never heard of a corporate tax that any CEO ever thought was a good idea. But compared to the tax cuts implemented during the last administration, where do these changes actually leave the corporate tax rate?
The corporate tax rate will only be slightly higher than it was. This is really crying wolf. These guys know they have to say something for their shareholders, but they're not going to raise much of a fuss. The corporate tax rate is not going to have firms fleeing the United States. That's ridiculous. Lowering the taxes kept the funds, the firms going out of the United States. It's not going to have much of an effect. What will keep firms in the United States is work. And that infrastructure bill will be a lot of work for a lot of firms. And if they don't make their product in the United States, they will not be put in the new bridges and the like. That's what's going to bring companies back to the United States and produce steel.
And one thing I actually find really interesting with this sort of debate at the moment is that we're seeing a real anti-corporate surge on the right wing. This follows corporations coming out in opposition to things like the Republican narrative around the last election, the Georgia voting restrictions, and in support, as you say there, of the Biden infrastructure bill. Look, however, it's not all ideological. Instead, from what I've seen, these ideological things are waking up some Republican voters to realize, well, golly gee, big corporations might not always have my best interests at heart, and maybe we've given corporations too much power. Do you think we could see a break between big business and the GOP?
Yes, and I think the GOP, if they're smart, they're going to go after small business, because that's where voters are. Big business doesn't control any voters at all, but voters are small business. So I think you're going to see the small target becoming the Republican emphasis, and Republicans being anti-big business because there are not votes there. It'll be an interesting dilemma. I'm just waiting for it, but I'm absolutely certain of it.
And on voting rights, a leaked video from the Harris County Republican Party, Harris County being the third most populous county in the US and encapsulating Houston within its borders, a leaked video revealed plans for an election integrity brigade of thousands of pro-GOP election workers, poll watchers, who will be sent into predominantly black and brown communities to keep an eye out for voter fraud. Now, clearly this is being seen as a paper-thin excuse to intimidate black and brown voters at the polls. And again, Ed, I really find this kind of thing immensely disturbing. And look, you know this kind of thing, what this is about. You've lived it. Any thoughts?
This is humorous. I would like to see all these little white guys and girls going into a black neighborhood saying to black people who were surrounding them that you can't vote here. Their little white boo-boos would be out of town in no time. Black people are no longer intimidated by white folks. Now, when they have the cops on their hand side, yeah, but the cops aren't on their side anymore. Mm. This is rubbish. But again, it's good stuff for the Democratic Party. Keep it up, guys. You're getting votes for us.
And look, another important story this week. They're all important this week, but could have some global consequences. Russia is massing troops at the Ukrainian border. There are so many different takes on this, it's hard to know what to think. Some believe this is a provocation. Some believe it's a response to Ukraine's push for NATO membership, an intimidation. Some think it's a stare down with the US over sanctions. Others, a precursor to war. Ed, what's your take?
My take is we have 5 good shows out of this. No, we have to do some more investigation, both of us, to find out what's going on there. And I think in a week or two, we'll get a better idea. But I also feel somehow things are under control by Putin, and not under control by Putin in the ways we think. I think the military is exercising some of its own judgment. And that's one of the things that Putin has to watch out for. He may be the Trump in his own country, where the deep state is after him.
I don't know if you can really predict what Vladimir Putin is going to do next. I mean, I feel in a lot of ways he tries to do the best thing for Russia. It might not be the best thing for Russia in a lot of other people's views.
And no, he tries to do the best thing for Putin.
Yeah, and I was going to say, as well as for his own skin within Russia itself. Yeah. Yes. Look, I should point out as well, Alexei Navalny, the Russian opposition leader, fears for him as he seemed to have disappeared within the Russian prison system there a week ago. And look, he's now on a hunger strike.
My God. He'll die in prison for sure. we better get our black bands ready.
Well, speaking of which, just finally this week, across the pond, Prince Philip, longtime companion to our own dear head of state here, Queen Liz, has passed at the age of 99. Look, big impact on the news cycle here in Australia, certainly big impact in the UK. I don't know about the impact to the United States. I mean, so much, you know, you guys did fight a whole war to get rid of the monarchy. But any thoughts on this one?
I think most Americans probably think that he's a prince of something else. Americans don't understand what a prince could be, married to a queen. Meghan Markle is the princess in America. This is way out of the vocabulary and thoughts of Americans. They would think the queen's a good lady. If this was her husband, too bad. But maybe they should both meet one another later in the great beyond.
Ed and I will be back next week to discuss the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Also, check out episode 1 of Ed Blakely and myself, as well as producer Tina Quinn's new podcast, Pacific Conversations. Episode 1 is out today, featuring former Labor leader and ambassador to the United States, the Honourable Kim Beazley, discussing the relationship and the ongoing need for US and Australian cooperation. Pacific Conversations, that's out also wherever you find good podcasts, and check out the website edtalks.com.au.